praise to our Father. And that is, this message is addressed to you this morning, God, our loving Heavenly Father. Today is Father's Day, and I want, first and foremost, to honor God as our Heavenly Father. Take your Bible and open with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1.
Thank you, Juan. I'm just going to read a very short passage, and this is more of a reference passage, and we'll refer to it as we move into our second point. But I thought today I would use a passage that distinguishes God as our Father. So follow along as I read verses 2 through 4. Grace be to you and peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, and by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just praise you on this Father's Day as the first Father, the greatest Father, a perfect Father. We exalt you, Lord. We pray that the music and the praise of our hearts has been a blessing to you as our Heavenly Father. Help me to be a help now to thy people, and especially to those that may be sitting here among us who did not have a godly earthly father. May the message of the hour bless their heart to know that you have always been there to stand in that gap. And there can be none compared to you, our Father. Oh, bless us with your goodness and your mercy and your grace. And may, Father, we truly draw closer to you as a Father through this message today. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, of course, today is Father's Day. And again, I'd like to wish a happy Father's Day to all of our dads. You know, Father's Day is a special day to honor and to really appreciate our dads. This day did not become a national holiday until 1972, much different than Mother's Day. Came about much later on our calendar. It was then that the President of the United States was Richard Nixon, and he signed the congressional resolution that permanently established the third Sunday of June as a national Father's Day. And I like that idea, although I think that maybe it would have been wiser if we had thought a little bit more back at the turn of the century about putting the responsibility on our fathers that there ought to be in this nation. And we would not be suffering from the great onslaught of absentee fathers, especially in some of our major cities. But I would not do service to Father's Day. I'd be remiss, as it were, if I didn't mention Harry Meek. He is often given credit for the idea of Father's Day. Mr. Meek, as a president of the Lions Club in Chicago, Illinois, gave speeches to various clubs around the country about the needs for fathers and also the need to honor our fathers. In appreciation for his work, the Lions Clubs of America presented him with a gold watch with a very unusual inscription, which read, "Originator of Father's Day." And they gave that to Mr. Meek on his birthday, June 20th, 1920. And so, from that day, it took almost another 50 years before Father's Day became a national holiday. But praise God, it is. And fathers, I can say to you today, without a doubt, being a good father and a good husband is probably the most challenging responsibility that you're ever, ever going to face. I think then the day, when that day comes that we face the Lord, we will have to give an account on how well we used the resources that Almighty God gave us to be good fathers. If you're like most men, you want to be a good dad. You want to be that good father. Even though maybe in your life, when you were growing up, you had a poor or even a harmful experience with your own father. And I understand that could be the plight for many, just as it is for many daughters during Mother's Day. But getting to know God as our Father is the key. And it requires that we understand who God is. The way we understand who God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And Jesus taught us so much about our Heavenly Father. Was it not Jesus in Matthew 6 who taught us through the Lord's Prayer that we address Him as our Father? Now you cannot address God as Father if you're not a child of God. So let me begin this message where it needs to begin. Are you a child of God the Father? Do you belong to the family of God? Say, I want to. No, if you're saved, you know it. Okay? Eternal life begins at the moment that you get saved. It doesn't begin when you die. 1 John 5 tells us that these things in the scriptures are written that ye may know that you have eternal life. And too many religions are teaching, well, you know, when you die, God's going to put, you know, all of the good that you did in life on the scale to the right and all the bad you did to the left. Then God's going to look at you in the eye and He's going to tip the scale. You better pray that that right side outcomes that left side. But that's not how God operates. Because all of us deserve hell. Amen. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners. Do you know you're a sinner? If you're not going to acknowledge that, you cannot be saved. It's the very first spiritual law. Or second, I'm sorry. First is God loves you. The second is you're a sinner. You need to be saved. Are you saved? Have you been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God? Wherever God is, there's light. One must acknowledge their sinner. One must repent of sin. You know, of recent days, I've noticed on the television more and more advertisements about coming to faith. And I do appreciate that. I just wish they were a little bit more direct. There's a new one, and it's very good, except it kind of skips the part about repentance. And the pastor is a great pastor. He's well known as a good orator and preacher. But you really got to let people know there has to be a heart of repentance. You can't just say, well, just pray this prayer. And that's how the ad goes. Well, if you just pray this prayer, call us. Well, I hope that when they call, they said, now, have you truly repented? Have you really acknowledged before God that sin violates the holiness of our Father? Romans 10, 9 and 10 spell it out if you're not sure. You need to be sure. You need to know without a shadow of a doubt that God is your Father. You won't get to heaven apart from coming God's way. And God's way is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Getting to know God as our Father is the way we as believers address Him. I don't think we do that enough. An intimate relationship with God is we say, Abba, Father. We're going to talk about that a little bit. But we address Him, oh, God, my Father. Or, oh, our Heavenly Father. Matthew chapter 6, you know, that's what we call the Lord's Prayer, which I would say, if you actually study the Lord's Prayer, you know that that's a matter in which we pray. Jesus taught us the matter which we pray. It's in Matthew 6 and chapter 6 and verse 9. After this matter, Jesus said. He said, well, where's the Lord's Prayer? John 17. John 17 is the Lord's Prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord Jesus praying to His Father. But in Matthew 6, the Lord Jesus tells us, after this matter, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven. But only those who are true believers can address Him as Father. He is a caring Father. He is a consoling Father. And He is a correcting Father. Now those all begin with C. I tried to make it as easy as possible for you to remember. I actually like saying that God is a caring Father. He is a comforting Father. And He is a discipline. He disciplines us as Father. But it's easier to remember three C's. Caring, consoling, and correcting. And so we begin with our caring Father. You know, the word Father itself invokes different images for different people. To some, it brings the picture of love. For others, laughter. Others, respect. And others, just true acceptance. But unfortunately, we live in a fallen world and others associate the term Father with fear, with rejection, with discouragement, with disappointment. And that is why, listen to me, it is so very, very important to appropriate your understanding of your Heavenly Father from the Scriptures, from the teaching of Christ Himself. And as well as the many Old Testament passages that allude to Him as our Father. God is our model of a Father in the very true sense of the word. Now, I'm a father. And I know that in my life as a father, I've made mistakes. And I have prayed that God would intervene and make up for those mistakes because He can. And He can teach. And He can resolve problems like no one else can. And He is our model in the truest sense of what a father is to be like. We can and should address God as Father, being mindful that if you're saved, be sure you're saved. If you're saved, then you have entered into a child-father relationship with the Creator of the universe. Can you just imagine that for a moment? The supernatural being that called into our world light. The very first act we know that God did. God said, let there be a light. And there was light. And God always wants there to be light, but unfortunately, There's darkness today in the world which we live. And there are two different kinds of people in the world, and you can categorize them in many different ways, I'm sure, but it ultimately comes down to those who are in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light, or the kingdom of darkness. I know that there was a time in my life that I lived in the kingdom of darkness. And it reflected on my very countenance. I'll never forget the time my wife and I were perusing some pictures in our photo album. And some of them were pictures taken before I was saved. And I can remember saying, "Is that me?" Had kind of a scowl on my face, you know. Probably mad at everything, you know. But God can take that away. No matter what the difficulties of life have been, God can give you joy. You say, "Well, you don't know what I'm going through." Well, maybe I don't, but God does. And He certainly has given us the testimony of many wonderful people who lived with the joy of the Lord, even though, you know, they went through trials and tribulations. There are many of God's great saints who suffered, but they didn't allow that suffering to steal the joy of the Lord. The Bible teaches us that calling God Father helps us, it aids us, it motivates us, it moves us in understanding that He, although the Creator of the universe, is approachable. And He's all-knowing. I think the Apostle Paul said it best in Romans 8:15. He said, "For you have not received," or "ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." So in other words, God gave you His Holy Spirit. It's not a spirit of fear. In fact, the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. "But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." It's like a more intimate way of saying daddy to God. And our Father was willing from the foundation of the world to pay the debt of your sin to reconcile you back into His kingdom of light. And He spared not His own Son, Romans 8:32, but delivered Him up for us all. Salvation is inclusive to everybody, regardless of what the Calvinists say. And Paul went on to finish saying, "How shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" I want to repeat that because you need to really assimilate that. Once you're saved, all of the resources of heaven are at your disposal. And we barely access them. Romans 8:32. "How shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" You say, "Well, I've asked God for a new car. He hasn't given it to me." Well, we're going to come to that, okay? That He's a disciplining Father too. Do you know that even when we rebel against God, when we're backslidden, and we reject His love, our Heavenly Father continues to do what is best for us? Romans 5:8 again. God didn't wait till you said, "Okay, well, I love you." No, God is love, and He loves you unconditionally. He does not make His love for you conditional upon your love for Him. He loves you even when you're not loving. 1 John 4:19. And this is what a father is like biblically. Sometimes our children can be wayward, but we still love them. We want the very best for them. And if that has not been your experience with your earthly father, there is one who has adopted you, or will adopt you if you're willing, cry out, "Oh God, save me a sinner, be my father." Take comfort and strength from Him. He has made you. He has made you uniquely different. He has designed your character. And He has given you an inheritance. And that inheritance is yours once you are saved. and you become a child of God. It was the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 4, 5, and 6. It talks about that we are being blessed by God as His children to an inheritance that is incorruptible, that's undefiled, and it's reserved in heaven for you. Now, when God puts you in heaven on reservations, you don't ever have to worry about them being canceled. Amen? I don't know how many times I've done a hotel reservation and I got there and, well, we don't have the reservation. Even when we are out of fellowship with God, God still loves us and is working to bring us back into His fellowship. Because He has made you His heir and He has reserved a home for you. We really need to focus on what Jesus said. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. In my Father's house, he preluded that, are many mansions. And He has a mansion for each one of His children. We ought to take time to meditate on the wonderful promises that God has made available to us. And I've only mentioned a couple, but there are many. He is not only a caring Father, He is a consoling Father. And I read that passage to you from 2 Corinthians, that He is the God of all comfort. And I think in the day and age which we live, we all seek His comfort, don't we? Especially from the sorrows that happen around us. For when we are fearful, when we are frustrated, when we are hurting, we need someone who not only cares, but also can console us like no one else. And folks, only God can do that. I think sometimes we lean a little bit too much on earthly people, hoping that they could say something, that they could do something. And yes, God does use individuals, certainly go to godly individuals. But godly individuals aren't going to be there in the middle of the night when you're laying on your bed in pain and suffering and loneliness. But God is there, isn't He? Because He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. He said, but I have not experienced that. That's because you don't believe it. Go back to my sermon a couple of weeks ago. If you're going to pray, you pray by faith. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. You got to know that He's your Father, that He cares intimately about you. And you will begin to have experience after experience after experience of God saying, I love you and I care for you. I'll just give you a simple illustration. That week, many years ago now, 2 years ago, when our dear sister Sally, who was our choir director, passed away, I needed God's comfort, and so did so many others, especially the family. But I knew this church was hurting. And I prayed, oh God, please speak to me, speak to our people. And I mentioned this a number of times, but for those who might not have heard the story, the next day, the Daily Bread devotional title was, You Will See Her Again. How many remember that? You will see her again. You say, oh, that's just a coincidence. No, it's not. I'm just giving you one example that all of us could relate to. I've had that happen over and over again. Because God is speaking to us. You say, well, I don't get those back because you're not listening. The Father has given you His Spirit. It's not Pastor Bacino teaching you. I'm just the messenger boy. It's the Holy Spirit. Go read John 14, 15, 16. Jesus said, when I go back to heaven to intercede, I will send you the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, and He will teach you, He will guide you, He will show you all the things that I have taught. And He never exalts Himself, We have too many religions doing that. He exalts Jesus Christ. So he is a caring Father. He is a comforting Father. And he comforts us with his promises. But we got to get in the book to see them. Somebody told me, or I did some research on this, that there are more than 7,000 promises in the Bible. And God has never broken one of them. Well, sad to say, I'm a father, and I'm pretty sure that I've made some promises I haven't kept. Shame on me. But God will never break any of his promise. And there is a perfectly matched promise for every problem that you will ever encounter. And Psalm 23:4 reminds us that even in the hour of our death, he has a promise. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they what? Comfort me. So I ought not fear death. It's a transition from this life to a better life. I know we don't certainly look to how we will die. He comforts us with his presence. And the Bible tells us the Lord will be with thee. And he will not fail thee. And he's made this promise over and over again throughout the scriptures. To Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to Moses, to Joshua. I think of the one in Deuteronomy 31 verse 8 where we first find that he'll not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. He comforts us with his people. Amen. He hasn't left us alone. He's given us the church. Would to God we value the church a little more than we do. But he's given us the church, and in the church we find comfort. It's a refuge from the world which we live. And the world is not a very friendly place right now. And the churches ought to be filled with God's people. That we could console one another. We could help one another. We could pray for one another. We could find resolutions in our problems that we're facing. But we're so busy and caught up in our own little bubbles. Forgotten the great resources he's given us. One of the most difficult things in life is to have serious problems and feel that there's nobody around who cares, nobody that understands. That's why as a pastor I call out, just knowing that, you know, God will provide. His name is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. If I don't know what your needs are, I can't pray about it and I can't call on God's people. So speak up. He comforts us with his purposes. And God has a divine purpose for every problem that we will ever have. If you focus on that, it's not going to take the problem away, but I promise you it'll make it a little bit easier. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purposes. Romans 8:28. Our Heavenly Father wants us to be good stewards, even of our pain, even of our suffering. I mean, even now in this pulpit, I'm going through some trials and tribulations, and I don't understand it all, but I know that God doesn't want me to throw in the towel, to persevere on. You know, the doctrine of perseverance is not a doctrine they teach very much in the church today. And that is sad, because if it wasn't for the perseverance of the saints of the first century, you and I would not be here. I mean, those poor guys and gals were thrown the lions. And I don't read any story where any of them ran. They looked up to heaven. Oh, Father, deliver us. God uses our problems. God uses our frailties. God uses our weakness to make us strong. God never wastes a problem. How many times have we read the Bible and we've seen tragedies? And everyone, when that individual just surrendered to God, God turned it into triumph. Go read the story of Joseph. That's a whole life of tragedy. And God turned the tragedy into triumph. So much was the triumph that God used Joseph to deliver the Israelite people from a famine that would have destroyed them and gave them the land of Goshen in Egypt. Last, and I'll hurry, because this last one none of us like. Yes, he's a caring father, he's a consoling father, but he has to be a correcting father. Those of you who are dads, you know that could be the hardest thing on your plate as a father. He's always ready to meet our needs. And sometimes our need is to be disciplined. He loves you so much that He is willing to discipline you and to bring you into Christian maturity. I wish I had the time to read the passage, but maybe you should write this down. Hebrews 12, verses 5 to 10. The writer of Hebrews speaks about God treating us as sons and disciplining us. And if He did not discipline us, then we would be illegitimate. Go home and read that. I gotta hurry. God, He is the potter. We are the clay. Sometimes, you know, if the clay could speak, and we're the clay. Sometimes you gotta break a piece off the clay and move it around and reform it. And that's what God is doing with our lives. He's molding us and shaping us and bending us to be what He desires us to be. And sometimes that's by way of correction. And He corrects us because He cares. And the Bible tells us that when we come into that we are to cast our cares upon Him. You know, Peter, I think, said it. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Sometimes, you know, we walk away from the Lord. And Peter said, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. And sometimes He cares for you so much that He's not going to let you go down that path. He's going to make that path miserable. If you're a child of God and you've walked away from God and you're miserable, that's because that's God's fail-safe to bring you back. He desires the prodigals to come home. So getting to know God as a Father requires that we understand that first He's a loving God. And as a loving God, He's a caring God. And as a loving God, He's a consoling God. And as a loving God, He's a correcting God. Getting to know God means we understand that God expects some things from us. Respect. Our Heavenly Father wants to see a likeness or resemblance of Him even in our own lives to some degree. None will ever be God. And God, He gives us a special command in 1 Peter, and I know it's hard to assimilate in our thinking. 1 Peter 1:16, he says, be ye holy as I am holy. It's like, wow, that's an awful big mandate. And the word holy there is hagios. Hagios means to be set apart. And too many Christians today, we're not set apart from the world. And that's what it means to be holy. It's not about having a crown over your head. It's not about walking around with your eyes up, always looking up, so that you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. The idea of being holy is that you're in the world, but you're not of the world. Amen? That you are set apart. And I praise God for the men and the women, and especially in the day that we're living, we're seeing former athletes and servicemen who've gotten saved. And you can see the joy of the Lord in them, and they're aspiring to get into leadership because they see the direction that this country is going. Because we are to resemble our Heavenly Father, Paul tells us to be ye therefore followers of God, not followers of the world. When people look at your life, and I'm done, God wants them to see what your Heavenly Father is like, to some degree. And that's why we are to emulate Him. 1 John 4:17 tells us God's love is made perfect in us, and we will have confidence on the day of judgment because He's in our lives. He's molding us and bending us. I leave you with this from Jesus. Matthew 6, verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto the heathen, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. Always know God is omniscient. Sometimes we're so busy, we don't even take time to acknowledge God. But He's such a loving Father, He already knows our need. Our Father loves us more than we will ever understand or imagine in this lifetime. We'll never fully understand the love of God until we see Him face to face. And I preached not too long ago, the only virtue that exists in the hereafter is the virtue of love. Amen. There's no need for hope. We will have accomplished all that we hope for. But there will be love because God is love. As children of God, and I close with this, we need to stand in these truths and allow what is on our heart to pour out to God, to pour out to Him as a loving Father. He already knows. Pour your heart out. You will begin to experience a relationship with the Father you never had. Should we have every eye bowed? Should we not have our heads bowed and eyes closed? Father, we exalt You on this Father's Day first and foremost. But yes, You have given us earthly fathers and You desire us to be respectful and loving and kind. So may this day be a day where we do that. But that first, we honor You and acknowledge Your goodness to us. Lord, we appreciate all that You do for us, even in correcting us. Father, may our lives emulate the Lord Jesus, Your Son, God in the flesh. Bless us, O Lord, that we can make a difference in our community, in our state, in our country. We thank You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your songbook and we'll go to 48 and we'll sing it as a congregational hymn. Hymn 48, or you could just look up at the monitor.